This is your Polycast for Wednesday, May 3rd, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Republican lawmakers look to save hundreds of millions on health care programs and the impact of corruption allegations on the St. Paul mayor's race. Legislation to protect internet privacy in Minnesota is up in the air after House and Senate negotiators left it out of a major budget bill. Tim Pugmire reports.
The state Senate approved an amendment to a budget bill back in March to prohibit internet providers from collecting data without permission. The House passed a similar measure that would also ban the sharing and selling of the data. DFL Senator Ron Latt said he was shocked that his provision fell by the wayside. But Republican Senator David Osmek, who cast the lone Senate vote against the amendment and helped to negotiate the budget bill, said it needed more work.
We do want to have data privacy in Minnesota, but we need to do it the right way, and rushing it through at the last minute is the wrong thing to do.
Osmek said House and Senate negotiators are still working on the issue, but an agreement might not come until next session. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
As legislative Republicans try to free up money for a big tax cut for schools and for road construction, they're looking to cut state spending in other places. Their plan is to shave about $500 million from projected growth in subsidized health care programs. But DFL Governor Mark Dayton's administration says those savings are unrealistic. Brian Baxt has a look.
Daniel Schremer's battery of questions would come off as prying in many situations.
Have a communicable disease like tuberculosis or
but as a navigator at Portico Health Net, it's Schremer's job to ask about income, welfare and citizenship status, disabilities, and more, while helping connect people with health insurance. On this day, a mother of two is signing up for herself and two young daughters. One girl has a chronic condition that has caused medical bills to pile up. The woman applies for the Minnesota Care Program, where she'll pay premiums based on her income. The girls are registered for the Medical Assistance Program, which is entirely subsidized by taxpayers. The process takes less than an hour, and near the end, Schremer tells her how to make sure coverage doesn't lapse.
So instead of having to do a new application each year, they would send you a renewal form in the mail with all your information already on it, and you just have to confirm that it's correct, and if it's not, you can edit it.
At least once a year, a million people who get coverage through Minnesota subsidized health care programs must go through a renewal process. Republicans who lead the Minnesota legislature see it as too passive. They want the government to do more to weed out people who don't belong on public programs. They're aiming to save more than $140 million that way. Department of Human Services Deputy Commissioner Chuck Johnson says he's skeptical all that money would materialize, unless the goal is to add hurdles.
And yeah, you'll have fewer people on your programs at any given point in time. And some of that may be because you're making sure people are truly eligible. But some of it is just because you're creating so much hassle in the system. It's just making it hard for people to keep their care on a regular basis. And that's when it starts lopping over into having people not having access to the medical care they need.
A report from Minnesota's legislative auditor last year wrapped the Human Services Department for oversight lapses. It found trouble with eligibility verification, double payments, uncollected premiums, or incorrect program placement, either because people were put in one that was too generous or too limited for their situation. Auditors estimated that errors resulted in overpayment of health care benefits of at least $115 million and possibly as much as $271 million. Officials say some fixes are already in progress. But the problems exposed by the audit are why House Health and Human Services Finance Chairman Matt Dean mocks the Dayton administration for suggesting Republicans won't be able to achieve the savings.
I don't think they could find a deli bar at a DQ.
The Delwood Republican says program administrators should do more to double check.
We want them to go out and actually find Medicaid enrollees and just make contact with them.
A GOP-crafted budget bill puts the onus on health maintenance organizations to prove through signed documents that there's an eligible person tied to every account. Money would be withheld, and people would lose coverage if their eligibility could not be verified.
We're a great big-hearted state, but we can't continue to write checks to HMOs for people who don't live here, who are dead, or who don't qualify.
Democrats contend it isn't that easy. They say they aren't opposed to stepped-up verification, but
what I disagree with is banking savings now in this budget before we know what the outcome of that eligibility check is.
That's DFL Representative Aaron Murphy of St. Paul, a nurse who, like Dean, is running for governor next year. Murphy says people who are poor and sick are often hard to reach, and simply cutting them off could end up being more expensive, not less, especially if they have to be signed up again later.
The idea of disenrolling because someone hasn't responded because they haven't received their mail is a short-term strategy with a long-term consequence for Minnesotans who are sick. And I like the policy that we have in place now that we verify eligibility, but we don't kick people off necessarily because they don't respond.
So what if the savings don't materialize? Extra costs from delivering care would eat into any future budget surplus or contribute to a budget deficit if the state's overall economic fortunes turn. Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt at the Capitol.
The federal government says Minnesota is failing to provide adequate dental care for children covered by Medicaid. Dan Gunderson reports.
The Department of Health and Human Services says two-thirds of poor children aren't getting preventive dental care, and those numbers need to improve. One reason is that the rates Minnesota pays dentists for care are among the lowest in the nation. Minnesota Department of Human Services Assistant Commissioner Nathan Morocco says it's a problem the state has been working on for more than a decade.
Having them, you know, provide this letter to us is their way of indicating that, you know, time is of the essence, and we need to make some and take some very specific action to correct this before it gets worse.
Governor Dayton has recommended a significant increase in dental reimbursement rates. Dan Gunderson, Minnesota Public Radio News.
A corruption investigation into a St. Paul City Council member's election campaign comes at a crucial time in city elections. The allegations come amid key DFL party gatherings and could swing this year's mayoral race and even impact future state politics. Tim Nelson has the story.
Allegations that St. Paul City Councilmember Dai Tao and his campaign sought improper donations have his mayoral bid under scrutiny by state investigators. But Tao's campaign may not be the only one feeling the pressure. The incident could upend the contest among his political rivals. David Schultz is watching Tao's campaign as a political science professor at Hamline University.
It's not just in terms of if, in fact, there is any kind of criminal problem, you know, involving him, but even sort of the stories that are already circulating may work to the advantage of others who are running for mayor in St. Paul, such as, for example, Melvin Carter.
But let's start with some context. There are six candidates running to succeed Mayor Chris Coleman, who's running for governor. In the last 10 days, Melvin Carter, Dai Tao, and Pat Harris have won significant support from the city's dominant DFL party. And while that's a three-way battle, politics in St. Paul are often binary. Moderate DFLers against progressive DFLers. This year, moderate Pat Harris is vying with progressives Melvin Carter and Dai Tao. Progressive candidates have a nearly 3-to-1 edge in pledged supporters after recent DFL precinct caucuses. But as they prepare for a decisive DFL endorsement battle in June, neither Tao nor Carter has enough support yet to become the DFL candidate. That endorsement could give one of them a boost in November, but the fall election is where moderate mayoral candidates have traditionally done best. Larry Jacobs is a political science expert at the Humphrey School of Public Affairs.
With two progressives fighting over a similar set of supporters, then that played into Harris's hope to block an endorsement, and that would play into his hand of going into the ranked choice election without an endorsed candidate.
But if bribery allegations damage Dai Tao politically, progressive voters could close ranks behind Carter and pose a stronger challenge to Harris. Carter's campaign spokesperson, Emily Weber, says that wasn't their strategy and they weren't responsible for the allegations against Tao coming to light.
No, and we are focused on engaging St. Paul voters, on Melvin's vision for our city's future.
Harris called the controversy a peripheral issue and a distraction from his message. But here's why these political machinations matter. Cities have become policy proving grounds. The statewide smoking ban started in St. Paul. Tens of thousands of people could earn paid sick leave thanks to a landmark ordinance in Minneapolis, a policy that already has state lawmakers threatening to intervene. Peter Nelson, with the right-leaning Center of the American Experiment, says a minimum wage ordinance could be a game changer, even if it's just in Minneapolis alone.
When the city of Minneapolis imposes a $15 minimum wage, these other cities are going to find it hard to compete for certain types of workers.
Nelson says, like it or not, starting locally has proven to be a successful strategy for making change. Still, Minneapolis and St. Paul have remained distinctly different, says Hamlin's David Schultz.
St. Paul has probably been, you know, a little bit more conservative of the two cities, although still liberal by large comparisons, but certainly not moving in the same direction as aggressively as Minneapolis.
This year's election could steer them closer together. Again, Larry Jacobs.
As we've seen in the past with same-sex marriage, with kind of work rules, I think that's quite possible. We could be seeing in this race in St. Paul the consolidation of a pretty progressive orientation right at the center of Minnesota politics.
For the record, Dietau has denied any wrongdoing. He didn't respond when contacted for this story. Tim Nelson, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Wednesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.